This episode is brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Father's Day is coming, and they really have everything your dad really wants. From hand-selected gifts that you won't find anywhere else, to small-batch bourbons and unique craft beers. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center.
This episode is also brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade, awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
We'll start with some good news. Canby's new drive-in theater at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds is set to open later this month, the Canby Now podcast has learned. There will be some changes from the original plan, though. The lack of revenue from a spring and summer of COVID-canceled events has forced the fairgrounds to a temporary screen while staff continue to build revenue and support to erect a permanent one. Fairgrounds Marketing and Events Coordinator Tyler Neiser said the temporary screen will be placed where the temporary livestock barn is set up during fair week. It'll be where the cows and pigs have been in the past, said Neiser, who has taken the lead on the drive-in project this summer. Though a permanent screen in the yellow lot is still the goal, Neiser said funding for construction and some of the other startup costs became an issue. There are some large costs that come with the permanent screen, he said, so we decided to move forward with the temporary one and get some revenue coming in while we're working on the permanent one. We just want to make sure that we're making the right move. The move did not come as a complete surprise to Councilor Greg Parker, who's also a member of the Fair Board and who updated his fellow councilors on the project Wednesday night. He said, quote, "As I told the County Fair Board when we first initiated this 3 months ago, be prepared for disappointment because we're trying to do something a lot of people have never done before." Parker noted that the fairgrounds had funds set aside to cover the initial engineering and received many of the materials through donations from local companies, including Wilson Construction Co. and BBC Steel. "It just turns out to take a lot more of cement to hold a piece of metal way up in the sky and keep it from falling on people and hurting them," he said. "The staff did the best it could. Now we're going to do a switcheroo, and hopefully within the next month we'll be getting some movies going on out there." A temporary screen will be 60 by 30 feet, the same size as the permanent one, but made out of flexible heavy-duty canvas instead of steel. The temporary setup will accommodate about 120 cars, less than half of the 400 yellow lot will eventually hold. No opening date has been set. The screen material is still on its way and expected to arrive by the end of the week. If that's the case, the fairgrounds hopes to hold a soft opening for sponsors on the 15th to test the waters, and potentially open to the public August 21st, though Neiser admitted that that would require the stars to align. The fairgrounds is working with Canby Cinema to produce the movies to be shown. They hope to show new releases as soon as possible, but that'll be up to Hollywood. One more thing that is coming to the fairgrounds soon, a taste of the fair food court in the Red Lot, which is located outside the fence on the other side of the fairgrounds. Open to both the public and drive-in audiences, the area will feature vendors from past Clackamas County Fairs served via modified drive-through. Movie theater concessions like popcorn, soda, etc. will be offered at the drive-in. Oh. Chief Jim Davis was dismayed by the reports that came back from Canby firefighters following a recent medical call at Community Park on Mullalah River. While the fighters were down at the park, they witnessed well over 1,000 people very close together with no masks on and no social distancing, Chief Davis said. True, some of these might have been family units, people you know and feel comfortable with, but we also know it might have been a lot of friends. As temperatures have shot upward in recent weeks, so too have the numbers of those gathering at the Mullalah River, especially at Community Park near Safeway, Knightsbridge Park, near Canby Grove, and under Goods Bridge on South Ivy Street. The crowds, along with their apparent lack of wearing masks or following social distancing guidelines, have been a source of concern for some in the community, particularly on social media. But Wednesday night, Chief Davis said the gatherings have also alarmed local health and public safety officials. We need you to follow the social distancing guidelines, he said, adding that he does not believe the governor's coronavirus orders infringe on personal rights. We need you to wear your mask. It's the only way we're going to slow this down. The chief encouraged families and individuals to take advantage of the warm weather and sunshine. Take a walk, ride a bike, go hiking, he said. Just do it safely. He began his remarks Wednesday by mentioning the loss of 2 lifelong Canby residents to COVID-19, people he knew personally and who contracted the virus while undergoing physical rehabilitation. They will be missed by their friends, family, grandkids, and great-grandkids, he said. Could this have been prevented? Who knows? Possibly. He also talked of 2 young firefighters in Texas who recently succumbed to the coronavirus. For those who believe this is real, thank you for doing your part, he said. Thank you to the businesses of Canby and the citizens of Canby for following the requirements of wearing masks, and to those businesses that work with people that refuse to wear masks, we're offering them alternative services. The rise in new cases of the coronavirus appear to have slowed in Canby over the past couple weeks, even as the numbers across the county and state remain far above the levels of the governor's office says it would be required to safely reopen schools. The local numbers are encouraging, Chief Davis said, but we must not get complacent. The Canby zip code is now starting to improve, but to me, one death is way too many, he said. I believe the Canby citizens will step up and help get this virus under control so that we can move into phase 2 and get our kids back to school. The actions Oregonians have taken in response to the recent statewide surge of the novel coronavirus are flattening the curve again, according to the Oregon Health Authority's top epidemiologist, Dr. Dean Seidlinger. Dr. Seidlinger spoke with reporters on a media call Friday in which he also shared new modeling that suggests the resurgence in new cases that health officials predicted following the state's reopening has now stabilized. The state's data shows that new cases spiked starting in May and continued through most of June, which is also the period that Canby saw its largest rise, but has since tapered off. The Canby zip code was linked with 11 new cases in the most recent report from OHA, which was for the week ending in Sunday, August 2nd. And though that was almost double what we had been reported the previous week, it was still far below the June peaks. Canby has now seen 175 confirmed cases, the second highest in the county behind neighboring Oregon City's 196. Canby's per capita infection rate, though, is much higher because of the population differences, 77.1 per 10,000 residents versus 38.2 for Oregon City. Canby's infection rate is also far above that of the state as a whole, 45 cases per 10,000 Oregonians, though the numbers are drawing closer each week. According to Seidlinger, the state is now seeing about a 1-to-1 rate of transmission, where each case of COVID creates one new case, creating a steady rate of new infections rather than the downward trend health officials would like to see, along with everyone else. However, he said the data would also point towards warning signs that cases could spike again and underscored the uneasy balance of the state's current situation with COVID-19. A concerning aspect of the most recent data is that more and more new cases cannot be tied to an outbreak or close contact of a known carrier, Known as sporadic cases, these numbers point to the virus being widely spread within the community, health officials say. Governor Kate Brown, who is also on press call Friday, said Oregonians must continue to follow the guidelines of social distancing, frequent hand washing, and wearing masks in the public in order to reopen schools and keep businesses from shutting down again. In response to a question from a reporter, Brown admitted that she wished she had implemented widespread face covering mandates earlier in the pandemic, and also announced she will soon be releasing new guidelines for wearing face masks indoor office settings. The riots in Portland have been allowed to continue for far too long, so say Oregon's GOP lawmakers, led by House Republican leader Christine Drazen of Cambie. In a press statement Thursday, Republican lawmakers from across Oregon sounded off on the nightly demonstrations that have rocked Portland for more than 2 months, typically centered around federal, state, and city justice buildings. On Wednesday night, protesters reportedly tried to burn the Portland Police Bureau's East Precinct. In a coordinated offensive, Drazen said was planned and executed to risk the lives of office workers there. "This destruction and violence must end," she said. The premeditated attacks on Portland police precincts while law enforcement officers and civilian employees were inside must be recognized as an unlawful attempt to harm or kill Oregonians. 8 individuals arrested in connection with these events at the East Precinct should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, Drazen added. "We stand with other law enforcement community and demand accountability," she said. "The destruction must stop so that we can move forward and create lasting change." Representative Bill Post of Kaiser said he is strongly urging Governor Kate Brown to put a stop to the violence. "These protests are anything but peaceful as they continue to destroy the city and put law enforcement at risk," he said Thursday. As of last night, this violence moved from a small core of downtown Portland to public buildings to private neighborhoods. "Violence breeds violence. We must do better." Traffic congestion improvements and safety upgrades are coming to one of the intersections most severely in need of them in the Cambie area. The junction of Elin Road and Highway 551 near the Aurora State Airport. The Oregon Department of Transportation said it worked with Marion County to identify the intersection as one most in need of safety improvements. The Elin Road approach currently lacks left turn lanes in both directions and often becomes congested during the morning and evening rush hours. To reduce congestion and improve operations at the intersection, ODOT said it will install signalized left turn lanes on both approaches and will also add to concrete traffic separators for the left turn lane on the west side of Elin Road, which will restrict turns to and from Boone's Ferry Road. Because of the new concrete separator, left-turning traffic on the north side of Boone's Ferry Elin Road intersection will use Kale Road. Left-turning traffic on the south side of the intersection will use the new County Connector Road. South of the intersection, ODOT will also build a new connector road, Julia Road Northeast, between Highway 551 and Boone's Ferry. This new road, which will require the removal of several trees to construct, will include a dedicated right-hand turning lane from 551, and it's intended to provide, among other things, a new and safer way to access the West Wagon Village. ODOT anticipates that travelers may need to use alternate routes during construction, which is slated for next year. There will likely be lane closures and traffic control with flaggers, and local residents should expect noise and delays. The Transportation Department has set up an online open house for this project, which will be available through at least August 31st. Also, see the informational flyer provided by ODOT to Wagon Wheel Village residents. The $8.5 million project is tentatively scheduled to begin construction in 2021. For designs and links to more information, find the story on our website, cambienowpod.com. Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows, you know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah. Which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers. And they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today.
All right, joining us again on the Canby Now podcast is Maya Kinley Hanlon of Canby Gift. Hi, Maya.
Hi.
But maybe not known as Canby Gift for too much longer. I understand there is a little rebrand and renaming in the works. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, basically, we have just had an awesome time kind of getting to know the community and figuring out what our store really needs to be for everybody. And what people want it to be. And so it's been kind of an adventure since we've been open, kind of learning the ropes and adjusting based on feedback and how sales go and all of that. And So basically, we just realized that we wanted to kind of serve a larger purpose than just gifts and toys. And so we felt like our original name of Canby Gifts and Toys, kind of, we didn't want to get stuck in just a gift and toys kind of category, because we did feel like as we were growing, the things that we were stocking and the things that people wanted to see and that people were excited about seeing in our store was really, you know, a lot of the other things that we felt turned it into more of a boutique, which was, you know, we have our kitchen sections, and then our body care and our spa section kind of became very popular. And so we've just kind of been able to, I think, expand a little more and have a wider range under the boutique category rather than just the gift shop kind of category.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where that came from. Of course, we still want to be a place for people to come if they want to buy a gift for somebody. But we also wanted to have the ability to be just a little bit more than that.
Yeah. I love it. I do kind of see what you're saying there, that the name maybe pigeonholes you a little bit more than you would want to be, where people think that's all you sell, and it's obviously not. But
right.
You got to get people in the door to find that out sometimes. So.
Yeah, exactly. We've had a lot of fun kind of just... I mean, obviously for me, I do a lot of the inventory, and it's such a fun thing to be able to do for the store. But then when things sell, we see what sells better than other things.
And right.
Sorry for this. But we kind of are starting to see what's working better than others and what really our customers want from us. And a lot of that feedback has been just kind of everything, so we wanted to be able to kind of promote everything as well.
Yeah. And we've been doing a COVID era podcast now for like 4 or 5 months. I think the listeners are used to interviews through phone calls and background noise and dogs barking and kids in the background, so they understand. Don't worry about that.
I won't deviate too much from the norm these days.
Right. I don't know if this is just a Canby thing or it's something that's more in line with what people are seeing in other small communities and other downtown commercial cores. But we have definitely seen, I mean, we used to have a gift store with Parsons. People, you know, love Parsons, still miss Parsons. But even Parsons was not just a gift store, right? It was primarily a pharmacy, or at least a pharmacy first, I guess I should say. And what we're seeing now in the downtown core is a lot of places, it's like plus gifts. You know, Gwen's Coffee House sells some gifts. The Book Nook sells some gifts, you know, things like that.
Right.
I don't know if that's, like I said, I don't know if that's sort of a market thing where it's tough to be just a gift store anymore or what, but that seems to be what you found as well.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, I think, to kind of be in this, I don't even, you know, we're new to this, and so it's been fun, but I think the idea that we had, obviously, was just to be a place where people wanted to be, and to be a store that people were comfortable in, and where they could maybe find something new or just kind of explore what's out there and to bring in products that maybe people haven't seen or just maybe things that people would be excited about and just kind of provide everything. And I think we wanted to start off as a jumping point with kind of gifts and toys being part of it, but we always had a vision, I think, from the beginning in our minds of wanting to have more than that. And
yeah,
it just, that kind of seemed like the best place to start, and it really was a good starting point for us, I think, but it's just one of those things where as you grow, you just learn a little more and adjust from there. So
sure,
we kind of fine-tuned our website, and we fine-tuned, you know, our Instagram and our Facebook pages, and we're trying to learn what it really means to kind of have a consolidated brand.
Yeah.
And like an image that people would think of. So we're just hoping to be a place where, you know, if someone wants to find something new for themselves or for a friend as a gift or not, and for kids, you know, it was really important to us to have a kids and a pet section as well, just because obviously in the community there's a lot of need for that. So just to have a place that people wanted to come into that felt nice and comfortable and welcoming, where we could kind of just have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta say, you guys have the most amazing window displays. You do such a great job with those beautiful windows that you have at the Dahlia building. And I mean, I'm not a big shopper myself, but even I'm walking by and I'm like, I gotta go in there. It's just so enticing.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's not something that my mom and I are specialized in, so we have people who do know what they're doing that come in and help us build those. So we're glad to get the positive feedback on that when we do. But yeah, we've been really kind of excited with how it's been going. And yeah, just the displays we've been able to create are just really fun to kind of see as a final result. And so we enjoy that for sure, but we definitely have some help.
yeah, cool. So what's the name going to be, and when is it going to change?
Yes, our new name is going to be the Dahlia Home and Garden.
Cool.
And our official date, our marketing team kind of just decided to put up a date, so it'll be 2 weeks from today.
Oh, okay.
Or from, I think, 2 weeks from Monday, actually. So now that it feels like Monday to me, but it's not.
Yeah.
So 2 weeks from Monday will be our official name change. So we're just kind of getting everything lined up to go into that. And of course, we've been really thankful to have such a supportive kind of community and a supportive group of customers. And we don't want to lose that group because they don't know that we've made the switch. So
yeah,
trying to get all our ducks in a row, get the word out there before it's official, just so that people are kind of accustomed to seeing our new brand and our new logo and our new name, also associated with the old ones, so that it's a little bit more of a seamless transition. And we don't want to lose anyone in the process, obviously, because we're so thankful to have the customers that we do have.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really cool. Well, Maya, before we jumped on this call, I was checking out our article because I was trying to remember when you guys opened. I knew it was last year, but we were kind of chatting before we turned the recorder on. This year has gone by so fast, but you guys are coming up on pretty close to your 1 year anniversary at Canby Gifts / Dahlia Home and Garden. And I just wanted to ask you kind of what it's been like. And obviously, this is a crazy time to be a new store owner with everything that's been going on. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been such a journey. And I think we've learned so much. And it's crazy to think that it's been a year. I still feel like in my mind that it's only March. But I then have to always correct myself and be like, no, it's almost, you know, it's August now.
Yeah, no one wants to go back to March, Maya. We've put that behind us.
I know, it's crazy. I just constantly am like, oh, right, no, it's another month has gone by. But it really has been such a unique year to start a business, I think. And we started, I think, officially in November, so right before the holiday season. And what we've also learned through the process is that the holiday season, in terms of ordering for stock, starts long before the fall.
Sure.
We kind of were a little, when we started, we had some stock, but we were not necessarily as prepared as, you know, those veteran stores that know the drill. So we got right in on the, you know, running at the beginning with the holidays, and then that was really exciting. It was a good way to kind of kickstart the store, but then, you know, leading almost right after that was COVID. So that hit pretty quickly. And we did what we could to have an online version of our store. That was a little challenging, so that was also a learning process while we had to be closed in terms of our storefront. So we're now, it's kind of a good practice run for an online potential online store, so that we're thinking about it now if we do have to shut our doors again, which hopefully we don't, but right, nobody knows what's going to happen in the winter, and so we're gearing up to kind of maybe do an online store a little bit better than we did before, if we need to. But also, since phase one reopening in Oregon, we just have felt so excited and so kind of confirmed, I guess. Like, that doesn't necessarily make sense, but we've been really
validated
by our feedback. Yeah, validated, exactly. From the feedback we've gotten since we opened our doors for phase one reopening, it's been amazing, and we're so excited. We hired more staff, and so we have a full staff now that have just been amazing to be working with, and so they've just been doing an amazing job, which helps us kind of be able to do more on the back end, right, if they're customer facing. And and so it's been a really exciting, I would say, like 2 months, especially just for me to look at the reports and the trends and all of the things behind it. It just seems like people want us here, and that is really nice to feel that way. And so, the past couple of months, I mean, before that was hard. But now we're just feeling really excited for the future and going forward. And it's been really fun from here, so we're hoping to kind of keep that momentum as we go forward into the next big holiday season, which is crazy that it's, you know, only 3 or 4 months away from starting. So
I know, yeah, totally crazy. Well, I mean, obviously, like you said, it's not a good idea to make predictions anymore, and I've kind of given up predictions after this year. But I do feel like, and I've heard a lot of people say, I mean, if you can handle being a business owner in this environment, and especially a new business owner, it's got to be mostly uphill from here, right?
Hopefully. That would be great.
Yeah. I think we can all hope for that. Cool. Yeah. Well, Maya, is there anything else that you'd like to tell folks about or that you'd like to add before we go?
Oh, I don't know. I just want to kind of reiterate that we're just really thankful for the community and really happy to be here and happy to get the, you know, the feedback that we are getting has been so amazing. So we want everyone to stay safe and healthy. And I just really hope that the way everything is going now just continues to kind of get better for all aspects of life.
yeah, so do we. Well, Maya, thank you so much for your time and for doing such a great job with your store and helping bring something new to our downtown core.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was gonna go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police beat for June 30th through July 13th. On June 30th at 12:49 p.m. following a traffic stop, a driver was arrested for an outstanding federal warrant. The uninsured vehicle was impounded. On July 3rd at 3:50 p.m., report of a theft of tires from a tire shop. Obviously, you'd steal those from a tire shop. The suspect, who was identified and located, stated that he was in a hurry, and he thought, I thought I paid for him. Obviously, you know, who wouldn't steal tires? At 10 p.m., an uninsured vehicle with a forged temporary trip permit was stopped. The driver was cited, and the vehicle was impounded. An officer provided the driver with a courtesy ride home. Well, that's nice for the criminal. At 10:24 p.m., response to report of people fighting over fireworks. One person was cited and released for harassment and disorderly conduct. Fighting over fireworks. That's a fun one. What an explosive situation. Huh? No? All right. July 4th, no fireworks shenanigans. At 9:30 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was stopped, and the driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine and possession of a forged identification card. That's cool. Meth and paperwork. At 10:18 p.m., report of a person throwing things at parked cars. That is literally what's written here. Throwing things at perfectly innocent parked cars. Speaking of innocent parked cars, July 5th was not a good day for him. Because at 12 p.m., there's a report of a hit-and-run damage to a parked car. At 1:57 p.m., response to a report of a vehicle that had crashed into a parked car and then left the scene. When officers arrived, the driver had returned, and the at-fault suspended driver was cited. At 6:32 p.m., report of a driver hitting and damaging yet another parked vehicle. The suspended driver was cited, and at 8:54 p.m., response to a report of an unknown person throwing rocks behind a house and causing damage to parked vehicles. Man, it really wasn't their day. On July 8th at 1:54 a.m., response to multiple reports of a person walking on train tracks, yelling threatening remarks. The intoxicated subject was arrested for criminal trespass, resisting arrest, and probation violation detainer. On July 10th at 8:35 a.m., report of graffiti painted on the 4th Street and Sequoia Street overpass. On July 11th at 5:44 a.m., response to a fire under a bridge and a transient person yelling. The suspect was arrested on an outstanding warrant and cited for reckless burning, the worst kind of burning, and criminal trespass. On July 12th at 12:13 a.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was stopped. Methamphetamine was seized from the vehicle, along with a weapon that the convicted felon was restricted from having in her possession. At 1:25 p.m., report of a person attempting to fraudulently use an ex-roommate's Uber Eats account for food delivery. The worst kind of forgery I've ever heard of. One that involves food. 5:27 p.m., report of theft from a shed, and a supplemental report had the transient being seen sleeping in the unsecured shed. So they stole stuff, then went back to sleep. 6:48 p.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. And finally, at 9:18 p.m., a transient was trespassed from a coffee shop. The classic fairy tale. Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Canby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Canby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden, so round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.